The Siyata Deshmai in a few days, we're going to be celebrating Lag BaOmer. Siyata Deshmai, I'd like to share with you an idea that I've expressed in the past about the fire of Lag BaOmer, the fire of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. First of all, what's up with the fires? My children were little. They've already, from Hanukkah time, that every piece of wood, they were already scouring to build these bonfires. Is it just that what happened was there were many people in Miron, and there's a custom to light a Ner Neshama, and somehow people got into bonfires? Or is there something particular about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and fire? Question number two. In the Svarim HaKadoshim, Lag BaOmer is referred to as Hilula Derashbi. Anybody know what a Hilula is? So colloquially, people say it's the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but that's not the literal translation. That's not the Aramaic. That's not the translation of the word Hilula. Hilula is actually a wedding. The wedding of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The appropriate word would be Yom Shemes, Yom Ptiraso. And we refer to the Yahrzeit of Shimon Bar Yochai as a Hilula. In fact, that's the only time that I'm aware of in Chazal. Nowadays, they use it for many tzaddikim. They find, Mais Rabbeim and stuff like that. They call everything now a Hilula. But once upon a time, the term Hilula was used specifically in regards to Rashbi. So why is it referred to as a wedding? And number three, the joy that's in Miron and the joy of Lag BaOmer that brings out in so many Jews is actually antithetical to the way Chazal describe a yahrzeit. You know, the halacha is that Yom Shemes Bo Aviv, the day that one's father passed away, and even from Chazal, the Mashmos is the day that one's Rebbe passed away, is a day that's a fast day. It's a day of tshuva. It's not a wedding. So why particularly, when it comes to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is the normal halachic approach of it being a sad day changes into a day that's extremely joyous? So Rabosai, to answer this question, I want to start off and emphasize that to appreciate something in the past, you have to appreciate the historical context. And once we begin to understand the context of where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's life appears, who his Rebbe was, and what is going on in his life, then you could appreciate a little bit more. You know, I knew someone who was a student of Rav Huttner Zatzal and Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, and he ultimately wasn't even a Shomer Shabbos. I had a very close relationship with him. The details I'll skip for now. He was a very fine person. He was actually a very, very brilliant person. And because of familial connections, I got to know him quite well. And I asked him once, why is it he was a world-class philosopher? I asked him, why is it that you're not from today? Is what happened when you were young, when you were in school studying philosophy, that you had too many questions? So he said to me, Chaim, you have absolutely no idea how hard it was to be a Shomer Shabbos in 1946 and 1947. The world that you grew up in and the world that I grew up in were entirely, entirely different. And by the way, he regretted that he was no longer a Shomer Shabbos when he was older. It wasn't the philosophy, he said. The difficulty it was to be Jewish, the historical backdrop that the Jewish people had been decimated and that Orthodoxy was just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of the Jewish American population, he said, you have no idea. Rabosai, 1946 and 1947 had another historical context that in some ways is similar. And that is the Tkufa of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Akiva lives through the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva ultimately is killed al Kiddush Hashem because it's usher to learn Torah, and he's murdered for learning Torah. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, his Talmud, experiences all of this. If you will, it's hard for us to go back, but some of you hopefully could go back to 1946 and 1947 and realize that it was an entirely different world. And not only is Klal Yisrael destroyed from the outside, millions of Jews have been killed, and the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, but from the inside as well. Rabbi Akiva loses all of his Talmidim. There's no greater crisis in the Messiah as there was in the Tkufa of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That's the first thing that we really, really need to understand to appreciate what the joy of Lag BaOmer is all about. That's step one. You have to sort of put your mind back to that awful time. Rabbi Akiva on a certain level, not to his shortcoming, but to his Talmidim's shortcoming, he fails. All of his Talmidim are dead. The Masorah is not continuing, and he starts again with four Talmidim, one of them being Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Step number two that we need to understand, and here comes the Chiddush for tonight. If we had to pick an element that personifies Rabbi Akiva, that exemplifies what Rabbi Akiva was, well, Chazal give it to us. Rabbi Akiva does tshuva at age 40. What does he see? He sees water piercing through a stone. What is Rabbi Akiva's most famous maimar? Ma mikveh mitares atmeim, afa kodesh baruch hu mitares Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva talks about water as being a metaphor for Torah. Rabbi Akiva talks about the ability for Torah to pierce everything. What is a metaphor that's used in Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's life? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's metaphor is very, very different. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is, we're going to sing on Lag BaOmer. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is Eish Dos Hashara. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is fire. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, when he comes out of the cave, he burns everything up. We have a Rebbe who personifies Mayim, and we have a Talmud who personifies fire. What's the difference between water and fire? Let's talk about a couple of the differences between the two. Well, first of all, water searches for the lowest spot. Water starts from up high and goes down low. Fire does the exact opposite. Fire starts from low and searches for the heights. I'd like to be mechadesh tonight that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai personifies fire because the Torah's HaKabbalah, the Torah's HaNistar, is a Torah which is like fire. Rabbi Akiva, who's the generation that precedes, Rabbi Akiva is personified by Mayim. Rabbi Akiva, despite being the Rebbe of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, represents, he's a Gilgal in the Svarim HaKadoshim of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu brings down the Torah to this world. And what is Halacha? Halacha is Dvar Hashem that comes down from the highest of high, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us the way we're supposed to act from the beginning of Or HaChaim, from Shvisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid, all the way to the end of Toiv Lev Mishneh Tamid. In other words, the Torah's Hamayim is what nurtures a spiritual life. And that's what Rabbi Akiva represents. And Rabbi Akiva is the pinnacle of that, of Yaruv Kamator Lichi. But something happened. Mipnei Chatoeinu, Golinu Me'artzeinu, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And not only is the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, the Torah's Hamayim doesn't effectively reach Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva's own Talmidim, through their shortcomings, don't internalize Rabbi Akiva's Torah. And so what has been the Masorah of Klal Yisrael through all the generations of the Torah's Hamayim, due to our Averos, has not been successful. Comes along Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, in midst of all this destruction and devastation, and he reveals that which already has been passed down, but in secret, has been passed down from generation to generation. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, this is the time that we need to reveal the fire of Torah, the spark of Torah. In contrast to Halacha, the Torah's HaKabbalah is one in which the Jew doesn't receive nurture, but the Jew desires to go higher and higher and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be connected to his neshama and escape his reality. In other words, there's chorban all around him. There's failure all around him. In his guf, he's entirely meshubin and he's entirely destroyed. But his neshama seeks a place to come closer to the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world is entirely destroyed, but the Jew's spark goes on. The Klausenberg Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was in Auschwitz, but his soul was at Har Sinai. In Halacha, he was keeping the Halachos as much as he could in the Torah's Hanigla, but what he brought to the Jews in Auschwitz was the spark of their neshama escaping, reaching higher and above, connected truly to their neshama and entirely removed to the guf. The Torah's Hamayim is what tells the guf how to sanctify its life as much as it can, and the Torah's Ha'esh is the desire to come up and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another side to fire. If you use the Torah's Hanigla wrong, then Chas V'Chalila, it could burn. Kabbalah used wrong, what I call Kabbalah with a sieve, Amevin Yavin from Los Angeles, Chas V'Chalila, that Kabbalah could be used to entirely destroy. Because Kabbalah is much more complicated than Halacha. For Halacha, when it comes to Torah's Hamayim, you can't distort Halacha. Halacha is the mayim, the water that nurtures a specific amount. But when it comes to Eish, Eish could be used to warm the soul, but Eish could also be used to destroy, to be destructive. There's always, when it comes to the Koach Hanister, there's sometimes a Koach Hatuma that could be connected to that Koach Hanister. And so therefore, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, now we need to pull out that spark of Torah to light up a generation for them to feel that they could come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu despite destruction that's all around. Now let's go back to our questions. The Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, writes that the reason why Lag BaOmer is such a simcha is because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's neshama rejoins its source in Shamayim. Now normally, even when a tzaddik passes away, or when a father passes away, at the end of the day, the guf is no longer there, and there's a place of sadness, there's a place of avelus in this world. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was the one who emphasized the idea that we're really, our essence is really, really our neshama. He was escaping from the torment of this world. So there's one day a year, one time, that a yard site is not a yard site. There's one time that it's a hilula. It's the time in which the neshama goes back, Rav Moshe Cordovero writes, to its makor, it goes back to its source. And therefore, Lag BaOmer is this amazing, amazing celebration. It's a celebration of the Jew. Deep down, every single Jew is part of that fire of the neshama. And that's why Lag BaOmer speaks so much to the Hamon Am. The Hamon Am that knows its shortcomings. The Hamon Am that knows that when the Rebbe is pouring the water, the Rebbe is saying the shir, they're falling asleep. And they know their averos and they know their shortcomings. Adam yodea maris nafsho. But comes along Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Reb Shimon bar Yochai says, not only could a person escape the torment of our tormentors, but we could even escape the torment of ourselves. How we've tormented ourselves. Because we ourselves, every single one of us, have a helig and a shama. Every single one of us has that spark of Kedusha. Every single one of us, a Lag BaOmer, can emphasize and connect to that spark. And so therefore, Lag BaOmer becomes this joyous, joyous day. And every Jew connects to it. Every Jew connects to that fire. And that's why, Imlav Nevi'im B'nei Nevi'im, hey, maybe that's why the idea of fires became such an integral part of Lag BaOmer. Because when you look at the fire, when you look at the fire of this Lag BaOmer, think about the fact that your neshama has a she'ifa to go higher and higher, and you could always connect to that chelik el kamima. That's why it's called the Hilula. That's why we celebrate Yom Shemes Bo'yoviv. It's not a coincidence, if you take a look historically, that almost every time there's a resurgence in Klal Yisrael to Teres HaNistar, it follows Churban. We mentioned the source, Rabbi Akiva's generation, and Rashbi. Then you have Tzfat, and all of Rav Moshe Cordovero, who we mentioned, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, Vechule, all those who are buried in the ancient cemetery in Tzfat, are Jews who were kicked out. Many of them are Jews who were sent into Golos, who were Zochet to come to Eretz Yisrael. And those Jews were dealing with a tremendous amount of torment. Torment also of Shmad, as well as torment of the destruction of so much of the Jewish people. And at that time, Kabbalah begins to flourish, because what the Gedolei Torah were saying is you could escape and you could enter a place and we could sanctify a place like Eretz Yisrael, even though what we were coming from was full of destruction. The Chalmoniki massacres, where Europe is entirely destroyed, is followed on its heels is the resurgence of Hasidus. Hasidus that emphasizes that every Jew could reach a place that's above and beyond that dark place called Poland and Russia. No matter what, a Jew could escape. And finally, it's not a coincidence today that the messages of Chabad and the messages of Breslov, even though sometimes I don't even understand all of them, but why is it that Jewish people feel so connected to? Why is it? The answer is that a response to Jews who felt that secular Zionism at the end of the day was a failure for their spiritual neshamas is that they began to look for something else. They began to look and to escape and come closer to Kudsha Brichu. One more Gemara Rabosai, and then let's apply it to Lamaisa. An amazing Gemara. A Gemara that I think is a raya to what we say, and then we could take these lessons of Lag BaOmer and apply it B'siyata D'Shmaya in three ways to our lives. The Gemara begins to say that there are many special attributes of the Tanoim and Gittin Samach Zayin Amad Aleph. Rabbi Yossi has his special attribute, and the Gemara describes the attributes of many, many Tanoim. Ultimately, the Gemara then gets to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Oitzer Blum. Rabbi Akiva was this treasure of Torah that lo haya velo nivra. In other words, Rabbi Akiva, as the Svarim HaKadoshim say, is like Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of his Oitzer Blum. In fact, Chazal, of course, described that the Moshe Rabbeinu Kaviyachol went into Rabbi Akiva's shir and he didn't even understand Rabbi Akiva's shir. And then the Gemara describes Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, Tochen Harbe, Rabbi Shimon used to grind a lot of wheat. Now we're talking about now the wheat of Torah. Umotzi Kima. He worked hard to grind a lot of wheat and he took out a little. V'chein Amar Rabbi Shimon l'talmidav. And Rabbi Shimon said to his Talmidim, B'ni shanu midaisai. Learn from this midah of mine. Shemidaisai trumos mi trumos midos of Rabbi Akiva. Because that's the most important attribute of Rabbi Akiva. So two things in this Gemara I want to take out. Number one, Rabbi Akiva is this beautiful Otzer Blum, a Gilgul, according to Svarim HaKadoshim, Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, his midah is one that grinds. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, and that is the ultimate midah of my Rebbe. I learned that from my Rebbe. It's not my own midah. I learned it from my Rebbe. Now, how is fire created? Tension. The way in which fire is created is you create tension. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's midah is the tension, the fire of Amelus Batorah, along with all the other components of fire that we described. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says to his Talmidim, my dear Talmidim, you should know that the ultimate midah that I got from Rabbi Akiva, the midah of fire I got from Rabbi Akiva himself. In other words, don't think that Rabbi Akiva was just Toras Hamayim. Says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, at the end of the day, all of what I have, I got from Rabbi Akiva. And his other Talmidim that thought that Rabbi Akiva was just one who had tremendous yedios because he was a very smart person or he had tremendous yata d'shmaya, they missed the essence. You can't have Toras Hamayim without fire. Now, fire could mean Toras Anigla, but fire also means a real Amelus. You know, when we were younger, we'd come out of the shir of Rav Heschel Shefter Shlita, and it's so beautiful. It flows so beautifully, flows like water. And then a Talmud could have Yeyush. A Talmud could say, at the end of the day, I'm not such a genius. Comes along Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, you should know that behind Rabbi Akiva, the most important midah of Rabbi Akiva was the Toras Ha'esh as well. It could very well be that the Talmidim didn't see it. But the most important midah of Rabbi Akiva himself was that Amelus. And what happened was the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, those 24,000, were lacking in internalizing that part. And that's where Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai had to reveal the Toras Ha'esh in a gilui that hadn't existed even before. So even though we are osek most of the time in Toras Hamayim, and Toras Hamayim is there to nurture our lives, if it doesn't come along with the fire of Amelus Batorah, then ultimately, usually the water doesn't reach the places that it's supposed to apply, supposed to reach. And that is our first lesson from today. Secondly, the second lesson is that in times that are unique in Jewish history, and there's no question, as we alluded to before, that our time is unique, there needs to be a spark. There needs to be a spark of Avodas Hashem that could be used to transform and change communities. Rav Reichman, Rav Moshe Nechemia Shlita's father, once said over a beautiful point. He said there were three men who changed the landscape of Torah in the United States of America. Remember we mentioned 1946 and 1947? There were three men in 1946 and 1947 who said that the world of Torah could be entirely different than what it looks like then. And they were Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichrona Livracha, Rav Soloveitchik Zichrona Livracha, and Rav Aaron Kotler Zichrona Livracha. Lubavitcher Rebbe said that I'm going to take the koach of Hasidus of Chabad and I'm going to bring it everywhere in what's referred to as a Treif Medina. I'm going to take the spark of Hasidus and show that the spark of Hasidus could exist in Las Vegas. I'm going to take the spark of Hasidus and show that the spark of Hasidus exists in Africa. You know, they say there was once a Chabad shliach that took a Tanya, I read this in an article, and he went to the North Pole and he buried the Tanya on the North Pole. Now, I'm not sure what exactly that stunt was about, but at the end of the day, it could be the pshat was this idea that the Rebbe Zichrona Livracha wanted to show that Tanya could go everywhere, that Kabbalah could go everywhere, that the sparks of Torah could go everywhere. And Rabbi Reichman's words, Rav Soloveitchik said that I could take a college boy and I could turn him into a Brisker Lamdan. I could take the Messiah of my grandfather and show that a college boy in America could be a Brisker Lamdan. And Rabbi Aaron Kotler Zatzal said, I'm going to take the Amelus and the Hasmada of Kletsk, and I'm going to show that it could exist in America where people say that it can't exist at all. I remember in the 1980s and the 1990s, people saying that Lakewood is not going to last. How could such a thing exist? A kollel exists in Yerushalayim. In Europe, there were a few, there were 10, 20, 30 people who lived. There was a Slobodka kollel. But such a thing? And the Baron Kotler said, yes, I'm going to start with a little spark, and I believe that spark could become an inferno. And Lubavitcher Rebbe said, I'm going to take that spark could become an inferno. And that means that every single one of us could take a spark, and we could light up communities. We could light up a Talmud. Many Talmudim are going back. I was talking to a couple of Talmudim who are going to camp. Maybe a camp that I wouldn't necessarily send my children to. And I said to them, there's so much that you could accomplish there. You could dream. You could dream that the landscape of camps in America, particularly the camps that some of you went to, could be entirely different. And Emir Tashem will be, I have no doubt. In 10, 20 years from now, B'siyata D'shmaya, it will. Because you will go and you will believe that even though everybody says this is the way it is and it's not going to change, it can change. Because a Jew believes that if he has a spark, even though everybody around him doesn't see it at all, with determination we can entirely transform. And finally, the last lesson. You know, before the last lesson, I must share with you this story about Rabbi Aaron Cutler. I know I'm going a little bit later. I apologize. I guess I get excited before Lag BaOmer. 3 more minutes, Bli Nedar. Rav Aaron Cutler, I've mentioned the story before, but I love this. I love this story. Rav Aaron Cutler, when he was founding the Yeshiva of Lakewood, he wanted to register Lakewood as a rabbinical college. And he went with the executive director at the time, and he went to an office somewhere in Manhattan to register the Yeshiva as a rabbinical college. Rav Aaron barely spoke any English, which is absolutely mind-boggling. He's in America, and he believes he's going to change America. He barely speaks any English. Rav Soloveitchik spoke a scholarly English. He didn't speak a practical English, but a scholarly English. Rav Aaron Cutler barely spoke any English. And he goes with the executive director to this office to register as a rabbinical college because he didn't speak, he only spoke Yiddish. And the executive director is asked by this WASP bureaucrat. He asks him what it is. He says, we want to make a college for rabbis. So he says, what's going to be the curriculum of the school? What are the goals of the school? So he explains to him, we're going to study rabbinic texts as well as the Old Testament in order to train Jewish teachers and rabbis. So Rav Aaron grabs the bureaucrat by his shirt sleeve and he says to him in a heavy Lithuanian Yiddish, Vajokshter, what are you saying? So he tells it to him in Yiddish. Rav Aaron says, Nein, Zagem Teira Lishmak. Tell him that our yeshiva is going to learn Torah for its own sake. That's why he wants accreditation as a college. So now this executive director is caught between a rock and a hard place. How is he going to? So he says, the dean wants me to emphasize that in order to motivate rabbis and teachers, they need to study Torah for their own sake. Rabbi Aaron grabs him and says, and he tells it to him again in Yiddish, and he says to him, Nein, Zagem Teir Lishma. Now, this went back 3 or 4 times. I don't know how the executive director extricated himself from this situation, but that's the story. Rav Aaron believed that no matter what, if a Jew is determined and a value that's holy, then it will spread. And that's what Lag BaOmer is all about. And finally, Reb Osai, the last lesson of it is to recognize that for you to accomplish, just because you see a Rabbi Akiva doesn't mean, and you don't have those talents of Rabbi Akiva, at the end of the day, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, we could accomplish maybe even more than the one who's the holiest man since Moshe Rabbeinu, but we could accomplish as much, if not more, with Siyata D'Shmaya if we have that Midah of Amelus, if we have that fire inside of us. Because once a Jew has that fire inside of him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him siyata d'shmaya that's lemala me'ateva. Ultimately, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai leads the resurgence of Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai speaks to every Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, that we should be part of the resurgence of Klal Yisrael, and that we should have the koach to be able to speak to every Jew as our neshamas go higher and higher, and we be zocha to live this dialectic. B'shneim al tanach yadecha, a Jew needs to thrive in the Torah Samayim, and a Jew needs to thrive in the Torah Sa'esh, and be zocha b'siyata d'shmaya to be mekadesh shem shemayim with the Torah Samayim and the Torah Sa'esh.